We are grateful for the privilege that we may be here to hear His word, to worship Him, yes, to give Him the thanks which we owe to Him for that what He has done for us. We should get more grateful for all the speaking of the Lord, for the redemption, for the salvation, for the full and perfect salvation which we received. You all know, when people get believers and are burning with the first love, then they have only one subject, namely that what God has done for them. And they cannot do otherwise but to speak about it. And when it then cools down, and when then the things get lukewarm and inactive, and the indifference sets in, then it becomes different. But God wants to bring us back to the first love. For this goes with it. The restoration is also a bringing back into the Word of God, into the Spirit of God, into the love of God. In fact, everything what was at the beginning must be at the end. One heart and one soul, united under one head, Jesus Christ, our Lord. One language, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Word of God. Yes, one heart and one soul before our God. And in such an atmosphere, all things are then possible. Then nobody has to make efforts anymore that he wants to believe. Then he has trouble and has to hold back because it pulls him along. Then he is so overwhelmed of all that what God has done. I am not quite sure whether all who in this time are believers can look back to an experience which they really made with God, to a day, to an hour in which a new life was given to them, an hour in which God met them, not just an hour in which they listened to a sermon, but where the divine answer came in the heart, and you really knew, now the Lord meant me, saved me, forgiven me, now I am His. We have read here in the word of introduction in Romans 9, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. If we briefly emphasize that on all the children of God, every word which is addressed to the children of God must be fulfilled. Our conversion must be in conformity with the conversion of them in the early church. Our faith, our doctrine, everything must be in conformity as it was at the beginning. And to this we are coming back now. And we are not ashamed to confess that we are not yet there where God wants us to be, but we made ourselves available for Him. And we believe that He will not disappoint us, He cannot, but that He will finish the work which He started in us. What I wish for myself and for all of us is a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Important is, at that point of time, that no other seed is anymore in our hearts, that we carry alone the divine seed in it. Because also this time it will be so that the rain can only bring forth that seed which is in the heart. And if there are then two different seeds in it, then also two things will come forth. And then we must ask the question, as the Word of God questions, can of the same fountain come forth sweet and bitter? Do we want to provoke our God to jealousy? No. We want to hearken to that, what He has to say to us, and respond to it with all our hearts. We understood that the actual sin which caused everything, it was unbelief towards the Word of God. And now the belief in the Word of God without any compromise must and will bring us back, namely into the stand with God, in which the people were before unbelief came in and was spread and entailed everything. Brother Branham always sang the chorus, "Only believe, only believe." But it's not only about to believe. If we meet people today, they believe all kinds of things and impossible things. And if one reads in James, then it's written in one verse, "The devil believes also and trembles." So if it's only about the general term belief, then everybody believes something, and even he believes that he believes nothing. So somehow the word believe is in the mouth of the people, but that is not the point. But to believe as the Scripture has said, to this original faith anchored by God in His Word, in His speaking, in His presence, in Himself. This faith is connected with what He said and with that what He is. And therefore, the great value is laid on the proclamation and not on emotional experiences. Dancing and hopping, yes, this we could still do if we don't feel too bad. And if we have still the limbs to do that. Although, if God blesses, then anything can happen. But then it doesn't happen on command. Then it doesn't happen because somebody wants it or announces it. But then it happens on the people and in the people who experienced the grace of God. When a cripple is healed and then jumps in the temple, then this is a matter of course. Then nobody told him, show now what you can do. But he was overwhelmed. To us it is about not to work from the outside to the inside and to create an atmosphere, but that God's word reaches our soul and the Spirit of God can work everything in our soul, which then also can be manifested to the outside. This we want. The outward will hardly entail the inside, but the inside will carry away the outside. Nothing can be done about that. And so we would like to let God and His Word come first in everything. We deliberately refrain from fooling people or ourselves because we know that we one day have to stand before the Lord. And remember when Brother Branham was taken into paradise, beholding all the glory, he was told, you must be judged. And he got scared, judged according to what you preached, before them to whom you preached. And you can imagine that everybody would cringe. And he asks, very surprised, does Paul also have to face this judgment? And the angel of the Lord said, also he will be judged before them to whom he preached. And then this statement of Brother Branham, I have preached the same gospel. The same word have I proclaimed, have baptized just as he baptized, and taught everything as he taught it. If he will stand his ground, and who heard him, then I also will stand my ground with them who heard me. And just as he finished saying this, like a choir of millions, it sounded from this great crowd whom he led to the Lord. We rest on that. It is the same gospel, the same God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same we also want to be able to say on that day, I have preached the same word, the same gospel. Everything matched 100%. Oh, what a jubilation it will be there in the presence of the Lord. It will not be a judgment in the terms that someone shall be condemned, because this judgment comes after the 1,000 years, but a judgment based on that, what God said in the beginning, and where we have now been brought back at the end. Nobody should take it easy, for thus it pleased God, who says of himself, I am the first and the last. Not that what is in between, but as he was at the beginning, so he must be at the end. What he did at the beginning, he must do at the end. And restoration deals with the fact that what was once there and is then no longer is then brought back again. And so we are grateful to the Lord that we have this direct part in that what he is doing right now. And in this plan of God, we want to remain until the Lord comes. Brother Rus just said that we can say, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken, blessed be the name of the Lord. And we will find out, if the Lord takes something away from us, then he will give us something better in return. He has never taken more than he has given. He has given always more than he has taken. And we will thank him for that with all our hearts. I only wished that the speaking of God is not only in the memory or in the minds of all, but that it has become a living revelation of God in our hearts. And that we get more grateful that God has included us into his plan of salvation. Let us just think on the millions around us, on the billions who dwell on earth. And there is a little pile, people who mean nothing, who have no reputation and no name, people who are almost too clumsy to get along in this world, who just make it somehow to walk over this earth. And that God, in his great mercy, has spoken to you and to me, calling us. Yes, that he received us, revealing his word and his will to us. Here, before Paul wrote chapter 9, he of course wrote the last words in chapter 8. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Since about 107 or 108 years, the saying or this formula is used, until death separates you. Here, there is no separation, but a being joined with God throughout all eternity. On Calvary, when Christ died, was not our separation from God, but our reconciliation with God. Oh, the program of God is totally contrary to the human program, and therefore the people cannot place it properly, because they do it with their reasoning. Who gets it revealed by the Spirit, to him it becomes really a reality by the Spirit. Perhaps he cannot express it, but for himself he knows it in his heart. Here were still two or three points which stood out to me when it was read. From verse 6 it says, not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. We could elaborate on that. We did it here already. Isaac was the son of promise. Abraham had many sons, but Isaac was the son of promise. He was the rightful heir. He had the right on the blessing. He didn't have to ask Abraham to leave him something. No, he knew that he automatically is the one who inherits everything. And if one then reads, where is it? Genesis 25, but we don't want to read it at all. Abraham gave gifts to all the other sons, but to Isaac he left all his fortune. There are all sorts of people to whom God gives gifts and then he lets them go. He has given them gifts and then he lets them go. But there are also people who have simply been called into existence out of the divine promise through the Word. They are entitled to everything what we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. It says here in verse 8, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise. Is this not a wonderful word? Who noticed that until today? Many people preached about the Word of God. It has not started today with the preaching about God's Word. Throughout centuries, it was preached. But that, what God has revealed in this time, in His plan of salvation, and the clarity which He has given to us by His grace, it has really never been anything like it. It is the conclusion of all things. No doubt there have been people who received the word of the divine promise in their time. They have always been. But that one would get the whole overall view and the insight into the whole counsel of our God, that wasn't possible before, and I can also tell you why. The preachers in the almost 2000 years, they have disconnected the Old Testament from the New Testament, and they interpreted the New as they liked, and by this they had no orientation. They had no foundation on which they could build. Today, we know that we have been brought back and being built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone. And also regards the restoration, this everybody can read clearly. In the book of Acts chapter 3, there it says, as the Lord God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Not as people interpret it today, but as God has spoken it by the mouth of His servants and prophets from the very beginning. And therefore, also the emphasis of the word of prophecy for this time, which shines in the time when it is fulfilled as a bright light in a dark place. In this ninth chapter, there are so many precious thoughts which one cannot fully exploit. But we let the Word of God not only speak to us in the gatherings, but it also speaks to us daily, and we deepen ourselves in it. Also, verse 28, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." Time and again, it is about the word. "For the Lord will bring his word to pass," in the German Bible, not your and my imaginations, not your and my wishes in dreams, but his word. And in his word, he laid down the whole plan of salvation. Not just here, the last verse. "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Our Lord was both, for some, a rock on whom they could be established, and for the others, a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. The same was every divine message and every prophet and man of God who ever came on the scene. In Isaiah chapter 50 it says, from verse 6, "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." You all know this word applies, of course, to our Lord. They plucked off the hair of his beard, and as we said already, they spit at his face. He endured everything, all the scolding, like Beelzebub, and so forth. And he did not answer back. And it's written here, he didn't feel dishonored by it. You all know that people, as Paul says, by honor and dishonor. But if somebody knows that it is not about him, but about the matter of God, that it doesn't affect him, but that actually it affects God, and whoever doubts this, I would like to kindly ask him, what did the people have against Isaiah? What did they have against all the prophets? Who were these people? It were the carriers of the word of God. God wanted to use this man from the very beginning. I mean, God used them from the very beginning, but Satan wanted to destroy the word and with it the plan of God. Whom did he destroy? Of course not the Word. The Word is still here today. But all the prophets, they had to pay for it. Only because they were the carriers of the Word of God. And when Christ, our Lord, as the Word itself became flesh, dear Brother Branham states so nicely, he also had to descend down to hell, as written. And dear Brother Branham says, the devil received him there and said, when I killed Abel, I thought I already had you. And when I killed all the prophets, I always thought, now I have you. But now you are finally here. And you know the whole story. Our Lord, also there, he had the last word. He took the keys from the devil, has overcome him and hell and death, and on the third day he rose and he lives. And not only that, but all who died in believing in him, all the carriers of his word, they rose with him and appeared to many in the holy city. Our God makes all things well. And if we then can ask the prophets, their answer would have been, it was all worth it. Even they will not always have understood what kind of ways God was leading them. But one thing was sure, they knew that the Word came to them. And they knew that they were not only as humans the target, but as the carriers of the Word of God. And if it shall be in this time the same, do you know? And with this I don't tell you a great secret. In the days of Brother Branham, all hell broke loose against him. All the other evangelists were let alone. Everyone was doing so well as no other businessman, for they made some kind of thing out of the matter of God. But the anger of the enemy was against one. And one day he got rid of him and he's no more here. All the others, they will continue until one day they die of old age. But the servants of God, the carriers of the word, them the devil has inflicted some kind of thing on them. Because from the very beginning, he actually wanted to accomplish the destruction of God's plan and to foil of what God had planned. To underline the thought of the word very briefly, let me read from Matthew chapter 12, the last verses, and then from chapter 13, also some verses. Matthew chapter 12, here we read verse 49, and he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. It was reported to him, "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand outside, and the Lord raises his hand and stretches forth his arm and points to his disciples, to those who left everything, who really, with all their hearts, followed him and said, 'These are they who do the will of my heavenly Father. These are my brothers, my mother, my sisters. These are the ones.'" We spoke about it already today or yesterday about the will of God. Now in chapter 13 from verse 18. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." It must touch all of us when we read such a word of the Lord. Here it is not only about a sermon which an evangelist preaches, or about some kind of speech or presentation. Here it is clearly about the Word of God, about the Word which is directly related to the Kingdom of God, namely to what happens in the Kingdom of God. Not what is being politically and religiously manipulated, but here it is about the Word of the Kingdom. So, about the true Word, about the genuine Word, about the Word of God, which deals with the Kingdom of God, which is connected with it, to show us what God has planned in His Kingdom and what He is up to. And nevertheless, it is written here, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside." This is sadder than if someone has never heard the word of the kingdom. And if we want to put it in our words today, then it would be the message of God for this time, which contains everything what belongs to the kingdom of God. And whoever hears it, but not understands it, to him comes the wicked one and plucks everything out and takes it from his heart. And the seed fell by the wayside with such a man. It was just a temporary thing. Heard, but not understood. Heard, but not fully believed, not fully received. Heard, and yet bypassed this and that. Heard, and not allow yourself to be connected with all of the Word of God in order to build word upon word and to agree with the Lord in all things, not understanding it, and We don't have to make a secret out of this. Who are those who do not understand God's word? It is all who are convinced of themselves, that they were always right, who know everything already. Everything was always clear to them before it was even preached. These are the people. With them, it was a temporary thing. It fell by the wayside, and such people are going then on their way, although they have heard the word of the kingdom, but didn't understand it. Then it says, secondly, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet has he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. This word is very serious. Have we noticed what this is about? It is about that we hear the word. But if persecution arises because of the word which we heard, then we throw in the towel and go our way. These are people, not ours. May God forbid. But there are such people who hear the word, but who have no root in themselves. Everything is so stormy, and it goes to and fro. A growth is not even possible. They are torn in themselves and cannot give the room and the field for the word in their hearts, as it actually should be. It is actually written here, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yes, there is an enthusiasm about the messenger and about the message that one thinks he loses control of himself. And when this initial enthusiasm is over and reality is setting slowly in again, then the enthusiasm will leave nothing behind. If then even persecution arises in connection with the word which God has spoken, then everything is over. And such people are called children of the moment in the German Bible. Thirdly, we are told, he also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This word is getting very serious. You notice, each of these three things is getting more and more serious, and the scope is getting narrower. And if we think that at some point and somewhere others were addressed, then we have to admit that we are all addressed here. There is no one here who can pull his head out of the loop. All of us, we are addressed, and God asks us to examine ourselves, how we received the word, on which ground it has fallen, what kind of circumstances accompanied us since we heard the word, and whether it could bring forth fruit and how the things actually are. If we only think of others in everything, then we don't even need to come here. Then we could just stay at home, because we can do the same at home. In the meeting, the self-examination is required, and God speaks to us, and He wants us to face His word. Here it is about the cares of this world, and who doesn't have it? Who doesn't have it? Whoever has no money has worries. Who has it also worries. And no matter whom you take, every person, even if they are sometimes very happy, if you could see them from time to time in their four walls, then you would know that there's also some need and some worry, which is not seen outwardly at all. And nevertheless, somehow there must remain a multitude which is not affected by all this, which go through all the sorrows, through all the troubles, through all the deceit of the riches, through all that what wants to choke the word, that there is a multitude which is kept. And it says here from verse 23, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So this is the last crowd which is mentioned in this parable. A crowd which stands the first three tests. And let us hear it today very clearly, and this with all our heart. The fourth crowd must have cleared the first three hurdles. The fourth crowd must have passed the first three tests. It must have passed unharmed these first three stages, to then at the end be part of the fourth crowd, to bring forth fruit. Then, whether we bring forth 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold fruit, about this, we don't have to argue at all. Depending on the tree and the fruit, this God puts in order Himself. Important is that we are numbered among this last crowd. This is very important to me, for myself and for all who hear the word of God in these days. If the Lord Jesus says, the gospel of the kingdom, or as written here, who hears the word of the kingdom. The other translations say anyway, kingdom, the English and also some others. It is about the kingdom of God, or empire of God. And in this kingdom, that's how we said it, there's only one king. His word is the standard. And we notice, with the first, it was said that they did not understand it. With the second and third, this thought is absent. And with the fourth, it is then mentioned These are such people who hear the word and who also understand it. And these are the ones who bring forth fruit, doesn't matter how much it may be. Now the measuring rod is on the fruit. What is the fruit? How do we recognize it? What is it? About this we most certainly cannot speak today. But it would be enough for me if the Lord would include me into this crowd, that by His grace, by His help and by His strength would clear the first three hurdles, and that I can appear unharmed in His presence, receiving His word, understanding it, placing it biblically in His kingdom, and then may He, by His grace, work the fruit in all of us as He wants to find it at His return. May the Lord grant it to me, and may He grant it to all of us by His grace, that we hear and understand the word of the kingdom of God, all of the message which opens unto us the whole plan of salvation, which has led us into these divine things, that we hear the words of God, receiving them by faith, pondering on them, keeping them, and that they become a revelation to us in our hearts. I am convinced that God will let us succeed by His grace. Are you of the same conviction? Then we want to honor our God together and worship Him. We will not have been forgetful hearers, but people whom the Word of God was revealed and who could thus be introduced into the plan of God by grace. For this, we want to thank our Lord now, giving Him the glory. If we had to ask today that we thank the Lord, then I would almost say that this is not right. Unbidden, we all want to open our hearts and mouths to thank our God with all our hearts. Let us come to the front for that. Let us sing together a couple of choruses, really being relaxed in the presence of the Lord. Oh, it is Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for your precious and holy word through which you have spoken to us on this day, in these last hours, Lord. We cannot do otherwise but to praise your name, exalting your name, for you only mean well with us. As a father with his children, Lord, so you mean with us, Lord. And if a natural father is not able to give his children what they have need of, but you are our heavenly Father, you are able to not just give us promises, but also to fulfill them. We worship you, Lord, and we thank you that you have given beyond asking and understanding. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. With all my heart, I thank you. In this hour, in which we have become aware of what it means in your presence, in your name, to hear your word, the word of the kingdom of God, to receive it and to keep it. This word will in its time bring forth what it already contains in the text and is already there as a promise. It will come forth as a reality for the glory and for the praise of your name. It bends me and all of us, and we ask you for it, Lord. Give us a humble heart. It's not our merit, let alone our worthiness, but alone your mercy and your grace, that you look down to us, speaking with people with whom others partly do not want to speak anymore. Lord, how can we understand this? How can we place it? We could throw ourselves onto our faces, giving you the adoration and the praise and the worship. You humbled yourself as no other, and you were also humiliated, and this unto the death on the cross, obedient, so that the scripture might be fulfilled and the church is redeemed. Lord, everything was fulfillment of scripture. In you, everything is fulfillment of the scripture in us. You, the bridegroom, and we, the bride, we ask you, faithful Lord, make people out of us who in this world have already experienced and tasted the supernatural, people who have become partakers of your word, of your nature, and who received your spirit, who have eternal life in them. Lord our God, We thank you that you did all this, and you will not cease until your work is completed. And on the seventh day, we will rest together throughout the 1,000 years. Faithful Lord, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, O God. This shall be our prayer, not just with the lips, but with the heart. And so we believe it. We thank you once again, and we lay everything, also our brethren who have asked to be prayed for. Lord, you know all troubles. You know everything. Faithful God, let no one be ashamed who has put his trust in you. Lord, restore us everything in such a mighty way that we can rejoice about it and praise and glorify your name. You have spoken with us. We have received your word, and by revelation of your Spirit, we understood it. Thank you for it. Thank you. Praise, honor, and glory throughout all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise, honor, glory, and worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Amen. Wish one another God's blessing.